Welcome to another edition of the PW Mania Hot Tag Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Justin C. Joined us by my co-host, the chairman, Stephen Vincent. Cam unable to join us today. Here to catch up on the world of pro wrestling over the last week as we head into WrestleMania. I think this coming weekend is going to be 2 weeks away from the start from WrestleMania Saturday. So that to look forward to. We got a lot of the card taking shape. Especially the higher mid-card matches over the last few days, the last SmackDown, last Raw. We also have, obviously, AEW stuff to talk about with the debut of Mercedes Moné in AEW this past Wednesday on AEW Big Business from Boston. I don't know if it was just me, but I was kind of, I don't know. I mean, like, I wasn't expecting her to like come out and fight and have a match on her first show, but I thought I was very underwhelmed by her debut. And it's like, you know, the ratings show that after her debut, you know, once you factor that in, a lot of the show tanked. And the main event of Rio versus Willow Nightingale just was absolutely awful and was one of the lower rated, if not the lowest rated, AEW main event ever. And, you know, Mercedes came out afterward, and it looks like she's going to get involved in a program with them, with Julia Hart coming out. So maybe it looks like she's not going to be going right for the AEW women's title right away, but rather going for the TBS title, I guess, maybe as like a I'm not here to go right into the main event right away kind of thing. I'm actually really surprised Dr. Britt Baker didn't re-debut, because I thought for sure we'd be getting Mercedes and Dr. Britt Baker there. But I don't know. I mean, apparently she's making big money. You know, good for her. I'm never going to fault anybody for making big money anywhere. Somebody wants to pay you that money, you take it. But, Chairman, what were your thoughts when you saw Mercedes debut on AEW Dynamite?
I mean, you're happy that she's back in a major wrestling promotion for fans to see. You're happy for the fans of her. But with that being said, I hate the theme. And I did not really get behind the promo she did. I mean, yeah, it's her first major promo in a new promotion, and it's going to take some time, I think, to adjust to an AEW style versus a WWE style. But it's like, Rio and Willow Nightingale is your main event of Dynamite. This is the first Dynamite I've watched in a couple months, so, you know, the Mercedes Moné kind of got me interested to see what kind of show they would put out, and I'm like, this is what we're putting out there. Rio has absolutely no personality, no charisma. Will Nightingale might be the worst wrestler I've ever seen in my entire life. I would rather watch a Zoe Stark match than a Will Nightingale match. And I mean, it's just like Mercedes Moné's getting involved in all that. And didn't Willow injure Mercedes Moné last year, year before? I don't know. So it's just like, okay, that's what we're doing. That's cool, I guess. You know, she's happy, you know, making $1 million, whatever Tony Khan wants to pay her, you know. Like you said, respect the, you know, chasing the bag. You know, we're seeing NFL players getting overpaid right now, like Mike Williams, $15 million to the Jets for a guy who come up with an ACL injury. So just, yeah, whatever. Throw money around. Nobody cares. You know, you want to rip on Triple H for not getting her back in there? They had a conversation. It's not like they just didn't let her walk. It's just she wanted to chase the bag, and apparently she said she's going to come back someday. And so there's all butthurt about that, people. So whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad way to start your AEW run when you basically come out and say, I have unfinished, and I'm like, not direct quote, but like, you have unfinished business at WWE and you plan on going back there at some point. You know, that's not the best way to start it. I mean, I know you have friends in Bayley and Naomi over there, and I'm sure you want to be back on the top. But I mean, hey, WWE's women's division is doing pretty fine on its own right now. I mean, you've got, you know, the top title feuds for WrestleMania. You've got even small angles going on. We've seen something with Candice LeRae over on Raw. I mean, for me personally, I don't think the AEW women's division is going to get better until they take the title off of Toni Storm. I mean, I thought the gimmick was, you know, unique and different at first, but at this point now, it's just kind of, you know, wearing on me to the point of I'm just like, get the title off her at some point. I don't care how. I mean, I feel like you're kind of waiting for Mercedes to come and get the title, or maybe Dr. Britt Baker to come back and insert herself into the title, or I don't know when Jamie Hayter might be coming back. Who the hell knows? But I'm just kind of over the whole timeless Toni Storm gimmick right now with her, you know, doing the, you know, the black and white TV screen. I just don't think any, not TV screen, but like the black and white screen when she shows up. I mean, yeah, Mercedes is going to be a big name for your women's division, but it all still all falls on Tony Khan to book the division the right way going forward, and not just be like, oh, I'm just planting Mercedes Moné on my TV here. So that just obviously means that things are going to work out for her and people are going to start watching women's wrestling again on AEW. What do you think, Chairman?
Yeah, Toni Storm, I mean, I like her in the ring. I give her credit for the gimmick. We, you know, were kind of interested in it when she first did it. But it's not a needle-moving gimmick. It's not really doing anything. It's not making me spend $50 to watch her face whoever she wrestles. You know, it's just not getting it done. Like, the women's division has been an Achilles heel of AEW pretty much since day one. They've had a few spikes, you know, and Dr. Britt Baker had her incredible run, you know, and there's a few Chris Stratlander, you know, spikes and Jimmy Hayter spikes, but like, they haven't been able to consistently put out a solid division, and they just have matches, you know, great, but you know, I need characters, I need stories, I need reasons to get invested in matches, I need the complete package. Call me WWE, but that's what I know, that's what I like, you know. And it's just, you know, you see what they're doing on the other side right now. You know, we've talked countless about Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, you know, Bayley, etc. Like, they get it. They're doing phenomenal things over there. And Toni Storm and the rest of the girls in AEW need me to care. I don't care about Rio. I don't care about Will Nightingale. But Mercedes Moné and Britt Baker should be a main event for the title at some point, unless Tony Khan is just blind, because that would probably be a needle mover.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know if Dr. Britt Baker is still hurt or coming off injury. I know I see her on Instagram all the time traveling and going to places, so not really sure. You know, I think she took it. I think she wanted to take a break from AEW, which is probably smart because I think she needed that as a character. You know, it's one of those things we always talk about where your character might get overworked or just over put on the top for a long time. It's smart to take some time off. And, you know, if you want to do that with, you know, AEW, Tony Khan will allow it. So we'll see what happens with the women's division. We also have this coming Wednesday on Dynamite. We got Christian Cage, Adam Copeland, and a last man standing match for the TNT Championship. Do you think we might see a title change here, Chairman?
I don't know, man. Christian Cage's character has been very, very good. It's probably one of the few things with AEW that's been good. And Adam Copeland leaving WWE to go to AEW has been flat. Like, I've seen quite a few people on X just ripping it. Like, this is, he looks terrible. Like, he has this now spike box thing. Like, what is that? Like, it's just weird. I don't understand what he wants to do or try to accomplish right now. It's almost like that washed up NBA player that signs a 1-year deal with a random ass team just to like get that last hurrah. This is what Adam Copeland feels like to me right now. Like, he's just trying to hold on. Like, you could have stayed where you were, or you could have just went out on top like you did with Sheamus last year, but instead you're prolonging your career and it's just like, whatever, bud. So I don't think he should win the title. I think Christian's a phenomenal TNT champion. I think his little family is working, it's getting the heat. Let's keep that going.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I saw a photo from when Adam Copeland was cutting that promo and in front of like a empty hard camera side, I just was like, oh, that's so sad. Like, I mean, like, again, the guys making money in AEW, they paid them, that's fine, but like, I'm with you. Like, Adam Copeland just should have, you know, taken retirement, you know, go live with Beth Phoenix and his kids out in North Carolina now. But yeah, I mean, Christian Cage's character has been great. I mean, he, like you said, he's one of the things, you know, it gets a little tiresome at times doing the same thing over and over, but it's still better than a lot of things on AEW right now. I mean, I think Will Ospreay is coming off like a star, and if I'm Tony Khan, I'm pretty much building the company in 2024 around Will Ospreay somehow, probably culminating with him getting the world title in England in Wembley Stadium, you know, in the main event. I think that would be the smart thing to do. It's one of those things where you say it's all about the chase, You don't want to push it. But I think at the same time, with how hot Will Ospreay is and how much the crowd's behind him singing his theme song, I agree with you, Chairman. The CEO chant is stupid. I mean, who cheers for a CEO? The CEOs are the big, evil, you know, millionaires, billionaires who everybody hates, and you're the hardworking worker. You don't want a chance CEO, I think, in that situation. But Channing Ospreay is good. I think, we talked about Swerve possibly being the guy to take the title off Samoa Joe. I'm kind of starting to lean toward Will Ospreay doing that in this case. So I think you build around him. I mean, you got Okada challenging Eddie Kingston for the Continental title this Wednesday on Dynamite, which I thought was some kind of tournament. But I guess now they're just breaking it up into one title. I don't know. I'm still not the biggest fan of how they are portraying Okada here. I mean, they're having him come in as a sidekick of the Bucks. I mean, you're not really appealing to anybody outside of your hardcore diehard fan base by having him come in and acting like this. You've seen it before. And like, if you're a new fan, you're watching this going, well, what's this Okada guy? He's just coming off as a sidekick of the Bucks when he should be coming off as, being built as the top star, one of the best wrestlers in the world, like Will Ospreay is right now. So everything they're doing right with Will Ospreay, I think they're kind of missing the boat with Okada, unless your goal with him is just to appeal to your hardcore audience and not grow a new base of fans for Okada. What are your thoughts on these two chairmen before we move on to the WWE stuff?
I kind of dig this dickhead Okada. It's kind of fresh and funny to me. Like, he told that one guy to sing happy birthday to one of the Bucks last week. That's just funny. It's like a side of Okada I'd never seen before. It's like, you always see him in the New Japan having these badass matches. And now he's just like, he's in the U.S. He's got a personality kind of now. He's kind of just a dick. So, like, I'm hoping, like, he runs with it and, kind of overshadows the Bucks and not be like Kenny in the Bucks, the Trios title chase bullshit. Like, I want, like, the EVPs to basically put Okada on that pedestal, put a rocket to his back, and push him right up there with Ospreay. I mean, we've seen Ospreay and Okada before and has New Japan fans, but I mean, obviously, there are fans that have never seen what those two can do, so it'll be interesting. And if Kenny ever comes back, that's another guy in the mix. I mean, you can't say anything enough about Will Ospreay. He's phenomenal. I mean, we've all been big fans of him for years. I'm a little bummed that he didn't go to WWE, but I respect his decision. He got paid. He's going to be put on a big stage. I mean, Wembley this year, I could see him having a huge match and get a big win, probably a championship even. That'd be the place to do it. You don't screw around with Will Ospreay. You take care of that man and put the rocket to his back.
100% agree there with you. So we move on now to the WWE side of things with the WrestleMania card starting to take shape more and more. Like I said, especially a lot of the, I don't want to call them mid-card matches, but not your main event type matches. And I put a poll out on our Twitter page at the @hot_tag this past week with the announcements of the four new matches that they had with AJ Styles versus LA Knight, Jimmy versus Jey Uso, Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title, and Logan Paul versus defending the U.S. title against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. And I basically said in the poll of those four matches, which one of them are you most looking forward to? So I got asked, Chairman, which match did you pick in that poll?
Oh, boy. There's a lot of haters out there about Chad Gable not getting that spot against Gunther. I mean, that's the match that probably should have been an option. I voted for Jimmy and Jey myself personally. I love a good brothers match. I mean, we saw Bret and Owen, 30 years ago, which is crazy to think about if I did my math right. But that story's been brewing for months. WrestleMania should be a compilation of like long-term feuds and stories. See, there was a couple of WrestleManias there where it felt like they just, oh, it's WrestleMania season. Let's just throw a card together. Like, I felt this WrestleMania 40 coming up has been planned out. And obviously, there's been some setbacks of CM Punk's injury and such. But, like, Jimmy and Jey, like, it was kind of like last year when we knew Ray and Dominic were going to have a match at WrestleMania. And they had to put them on separate brands. They did the same thing here this year. But, of course, people kind of jump shows. And I think, Jimmy and Jey had a really good opening promo last night. Jey basically misses his brother, but, Jimmy threw it back in his face, said, you're the one that left the bloodline. And then Solo gets involved, of course, because that's what happens. And I think those two, we've seen these two put on phenomenal matches together as a tag team. They have the biggest stage of all to have a one-on-one match. Like, this will probably be the biggest singles match of both of their careers. And nothing, not taking away from the other matches. I mean, I do like some of the other matches that were on the poll, but to me, this is my pick.
No, that's also the one I went with as well. Like you said, it's the culmination of a long story going all the way back to Jey Uso's SummerSlam match with Roman Reigns, with Jimmy costing him the title there. So it's been building pretty much since then. Like you said, they did what they did with Rey and Dominik, keeping them on separate brands during this time period, so we didn't get overexposed with them going at one another, and they kind of brought them back going at one another around at the best time to build to your WrestleMania match. Like you said, it's nothing against those other matches, but it's one of those things where if I'm looking at the other ones, Gunther, Sami Zayn, obviously it's going to be a phenomenal match. You know it's going to be. But we talked about this when we talked about the Intercontinental Title Gauntlet match a few weeks ago, that, it's going to be a great match, but I don't know if Sami Zayn is the right choice to be the one to dethrone Gunther and take the Intercontinental title off him. So that's, something to think about there. AJ Styles, LA Knight, it's been building up rather well. It's been goes back to the Rumble, so there's a few months being built to it. This new AJ Styles is kind of like a darker side of him. He's obviously the heel here, and LA Knight can do the talking to get people interested in it. I know we talked about LA Knight versus Logan Paul at some point, but that's obviously not happening with Logan Paul taking on Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Probably a smart move there. I mean, we don't know how physically ready Randy Orton is to work a regular long WrestleMania singles match, so you do a triple threat kind of thing where he doesn't have to do a lot of the work, and Logan can bump around for both of them, and Kevin Owens can handle a lot of the brunt of the work as well. I mean, I expect all four of these matches to be good, but like I said, I just think overall with the story of all of these feuds, I think Jimmy versus Jay is obviously the most long-term story told. So you have that going for you there. I think, like I said, I think all these other matches will be good. I'm sure you agree with me, Chairman, but I agree. Jimmy and Jay have the best story.
Yeah, and it's just like I kind of said before, this whole Chad Gable thing, there's all these butthurt fans because he wasn't the one getting that match to the Sami Zayn. They're like, oh, the story's there. It's like, y'all complain if it's too predictable. And then Triple H throws a curve, and now you're all mad. It's like, if you watched Raw last night, like, you can see there's tension with Chad Gable and Sami Zayn now. Like, this could be a direction they move when Chad basically told Sami that he can't beat Gunther, and I don't think he will. But maybe if Chad Gable gets serious, drops the Seuss garbage, gets away from Otis and Tozawa, and hooks up with like the Creed brothers or something, that could be cinema. But yeah, I mean, the other match, I think the Logan Paul, he's grown on me. I'll admit, he's grown on me. Him, KO, and Randy Orton. Triple threat match was the right call. I know there's people are thinking it'll be just Randy or just KO, but I'm like, what are you gonna do with the other guy? Triple threat match was the best way to go. And Randy and KO got a weird little bromance going on lately. I almost wish they would have made Grayson Waller in this match, made a fatal four way, because Grayson Waller deserves his flowers. He should get a big shot at WrestleMania. Screw Theory. He can go play in the catering pool. He's garbage. But speaking of garbage, Theory, that freaking RKO stunner thing, he jumped. What the hell is that, dude? Like, seriously, that was terrible. Like, that was the probably worst. That was worse than Vince McMahon selling a stunner at WrestleMania. It was that bad. Holy shit. But LA Knight, though, what are we doing with LA Knight? Like, this guy was like the king, and he's getting still big matches. But like AJ Styles WrestleMania matches, which, I don't know. I don't think it's AJ Styles. I'm a big fan of him over the years, but like his WrestleMania matches, like AJ Styles, like the booking, like just like they don't move the needle. Like I don't know what it is. Like he just gets in these weird. Oh, it's WrestleMania. AJ here. LA Knight got cool, and it's like they almost like don't want LA Knight. I feel like to get there for some reason. Like we all were thinking Logan Paul LA Knight was the match at Mania, and it didn't happen. So it's just really weird how they're using LA Knight these days. I mean, I'm hoping they have a great match, but I'm just confused.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about AJ Styles' WrestleMania matches. You go back and look at a lot of them. I honestly think, if I remember correctly, his best WrestleMania match might have been against Shane McMahon. I remember everybody hating that. I mean, I guess if you want to count it as a match, you could also talk about the Boneyard match too. I thought that was great. But I guess if you want to count just actual matches, let's see going through here.
Yeah, Jericho that first year, I
Yeah,
think.
Jericho the first year, Man, I didn't even remember he fought AJ Styler at WrestleMania 38. I did not remember that.
That's how forgettable that is.
Yeah. What's he got? So yeah, Randy Orton, WrestleMania 35. I was there for that one. That one was okay.
Shinsuke was bad. Oh,
yeah, the Shinsuke
God.
One ended up being really bad. WrestleMania 37, his and Osmosis Jones against the New Day.
That was a thing. Oh my goodness.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so it's either him and Shane, him and Jericho, or if you want to count the Boneyard match, the Boneyard match. I don't really count the Boneyard match because I look at it more as like a one-off thing rather than an actual match, but I think I would probably give the edge to him and Shane McMahon as far as WrestleMania matches go. But yeah, you're right. His WrestleMania matches are really weird when you think about them like that. We've also had the continued build to Cody, Rock, Seth, Roman, everything thrown in there all together. You had Rock cut another one of his promos on Instagram, on X this past weekend with him doing a Rock concert too. And Cody coming back this past Monday on Raw and calling The Rock an asshole. Like I said, it's like Fox is looking over here bleeping the words like ass and damn and who knows whatever the hell they end up bleeping. And now Cody's over here, like I said, saying asshole. I think he called him a bitch this past Monday on Raw 2. It's a promo Cody had to give because if you let The Rock go out there and curse and swear and say the stuff he's been saying on even on Instagram and stuff, you have to let Cody give the same kind of promo as well, I think, because otherwise Cody comes off as second nature in the feud, and that's not something you want. So you got to go out there and let him do something similar like that. So props to WWE, Triple H, and Cody for realizing that has to happen. And meanwhile, in the background, you just have Drew McIntyre just kind of doing his thing and talking his shit about Seth as well, just continuing to add up there and continue to build this interesting WrestleMania card that we tend to get. I mean, it's like Drew McIntyre is doing, if it wasn't for The Rock, Drew McIntyre, I think, would be the most talked about promo guy heading into WrestleMania, given how good he is. But you've got to talk about all, you know, this Rock and Cody stuff and just how they've completely pivoted from what was going to be a surefire disaster in Rock versus Roman for the title and going to this Cody character and giving us this Rock character, bringing back the Hollywood theme that we all wanted to hear back. He just needs to bring back the same black leather and black vest pants just to completely do it. But I'm looking forward to it, and it continues to build. They continue to add new layers every single week that are just great. I really want this to happen now, and now I don't think it will, but I saw, you know, obviously I think what we all kind of agree on is this is building to Rock versus Roman, Bloodline rules, and all of Cody's friends, Seth, Jey Uso, anybody else come out and fight off the Bloodline, and maybe Rock turns on Roman, but I saw somebody suggest that maybe Stone Cold comes out and gives Rock a stunner as part of Cody's final piece to the solution to get rid of the Bloodline, and I'm kind of hoping for that right now. But what do you just think, Chairman, everything that's been developing with the storyline over the last week?
There is a lot of layers, man. You just went down. Let's just talk about Drew McIntyre first, and then I'll work my way to the Bloodline, because there's just a lot there. But Drew McIntyre basically got an opportunity because CM Punk got injured. Like, I'm about 98% certain it was going to be Seth Rollins versus CM Punk at WrestleMania. But obviously, Punk got injured. They had to pivot. Who knows what Drew McIntyre was going to do at WrestleMania if it wasn't for this? But that dude took the ball and he ran with it. Like, he's just killing it, man. He's using the social media game. You know, every time he gets the microphone, he's important. You know, he manipulates people. It's hilarious. I think I saw a tweet that he had of Carmelo Hayes. It's about dropping like a random number for weight. You know, referring to Trick Williams. So it's like, man, Drew is just everywhere. He's touching everything, and it's turning into gold. Like, even though he's facing, like, my favorite wrestler, it's like, I almost want to see him win the championship just to see what happens and what he does with it and what the direction is. But, like, he definitely deserves it. Like, he's top-notch MVP, you know. And it's like, he's focused. He's focused on Seth. He doesn't have any distractions. Seth is trying to play two games right now. He's trying to be the champion of Raw, and he wants to get himself involved in the Cody, Roman Reigns, Rock, Bloodline feud, because Seth feels it's his duty to take the bloodline out, because, you know, Seth and Roman, the history. I could sit here all night and talk about that. But, you know, obviously Cody's got his story to finish. Dwayne's in there dropping fuck your story on Instagram. And now everyone's all butt hurt because he's using foul language and stuff like that. It's like, y'all didn't grow up in the Attitude Era. It's just funny to me that the fans that grew up in the Attitude Era, they used to watch South Park and Family Guy, get triggered by the smallest things. Like, just stop. Just stop. Seriously, just stop. Like, The Rock is a promo guy. He's hilarious. The concert at the Internet SmackDown might have been one of the funniest promos in years. Like, just ripped everybody to shreds. That's what The Rock does. You know, he interacts with the crowd. He has nicknames for every city. He'll make fun of himself if he has to by going by his old wrestling name and showing the fanny pack. Like, it's just, Rock is a treasure. You know, is he going to wrestle like dog shit? Probably. But he's entertaining as hell, and I'm happy that he's, you know, here for this WrestleMania run. He does make Roman Reigns feel like worthless right now. A guy that's held the title for how many years feels backseat right now because he ain't there half the time, and Rock is overshadows the shit out of him. It's insane. So there's going to be a rift there. It's coming. But there's a lot of stories to tell right now. I will say this, though. If Cody does not win at WrestleMania, Philly will burn the stadium down.
Oh, yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, if they don't do it this year, they're just, I don't understand what they're waiting for. I mean, we've said it before. We talked about before the storyline even happened when there were rumors about Rock and Roman Reigns. We would say, yeah, I'd be down with Rock and Roman Reigns, but I don't need the title for it. And here's your perfect opportunity. You take the title off of Cody Rhodes. You know, Roman can blame Rock. Rock can call out Roman for not being the head of the table. However you want to end up playing it, there's plenty of room there for that to happen. And you can be something whether you want... you know, Rock to be babyface, which I think people would end up cheering the Rock over Roman Reigns in the end. But it's smart, I think, in the end for Rock to do this tag match. He doesn't have to do a lot of work. Of course, Roman doesn't do a lot of work in his matches either. I wouldn't be surprised if the entrances for these two for this match were longer, for all four guys combined, is longer than the actual match. But just the spectacle of Roman being around in there, I think, you know, the whole star power like that with Rock makes it a big thing for the match, and it gives night one a big feel. Night two is going to be even a bigger feel with Cody hoping to finally finish his story. It's just one of those things where you got to pray nobody gets injured in that match from night one, because then it just would be absolute chaos for your night two. But yeah, I'm interested to see what ends up happening in the next few weeks. Like you said, it's weird seeing Rock on an actual SmackDown and Roman Reigns not being there in 2024. Not sure if I had that on my bingo card where the Rock's there, but Roman Reigns is not. So it'll be a good fun last couple weeks here to build. By the way, I don't know if anybody, if you're out there and you're listening, you haven't watched anything from Raw yet. Absolutely go out of your way to watch the Creed Brothers DIY match from Raw this past Monday that opened the show. It was great. They gave these guys, it's just one of those things where they went out there, they gave these guys time. I think it lasted over two or three segments. I want to say it was over 20 minutes for sure, but might have been the best tag team match in recent WWE memory, at least main roster wise, as far as I can remember. Did you see it, Chairman?
I kind of fast forward through a lot of Raw, being I didn't watch it live last night. I was at a concert, and then I of course get spoilers. So whenever I see who won the match, just had like going on today, and I mean, when I saw it on paper, it looked like it was had some potential. So maybe if I get time, I'll go back and check that out. So
yes, you know,
I would definitely watch both those teams would have been at WrestleMania. Like, but it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. DIY's first WrestleMania match, so good luck to them. Creed Brothers got a lot of time before they get there. I shouldn't say before they get there, but they have way more time, I think, than Gargano and Ciampa, especially given Ciampa's neck injury history. So right move, I think, to put those guys in the match and not the Creed Brothers. But yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, absolutely go out of your way to see it. All right, so that's kind of the newsworthy part of the show we want to talk about, and we're going to finish this week's show giving the our top five in the women's divisions throughout the world of pro wrestling. Chairman, I'll let you go first here. So your top five back when this, I believe, was at the end of after the Royal Rumble. Your top five went Bayley, Rhea, Jade, Nia Jax, and Liv Morgan. So what is your top five going to be this time?
Well, unfortunately, we had some changes for a few women. They didn't make the cut this time. I'll just come out and say it. Jade Cargill has pretty much been MIA, unfortunately. You know, we are thinking she would make WrestleMania, and here we're a couple weeks away, and there's a lot of question marks. So she fell off. She had a great Rumble debut, but still waiting for more. Nia Jax has been phenomenal, but, you know, she had a main event of Rhea at the last pay-per-view, Elimination Chamber, you know, had some clashes with Becky. You know, good main event last night, but Nia, you didn't make the top five because I don't see a WrestleMania scenario for you, minus like a weird battle royal or something. And Liv Morgan, you know, she came back. We're all excited. I thought she'd maybe break out, you know, and yeah, she had a little run-in with Becky, but again, they kind of put her on ice too. So those three fell out. But my new top five, number five is Dakota Kai. You know, she came back. She's in the ring again. She turned on Bayley, as we all saw coming. And, you know, I'm going to take a moment here to say that Io Sky has been a very questionable champion. Like, I feel like they really haven't gave her the support that she needs. Like, she's kind of a forgettable champion. Like, Bayley has to win. Like, and I feel like Dakota Kai is kind of the mouthpiece now of Damage Control. I feel like that there's a lot of stuff that can happen between her and Bayley going forward. Dakota Kai turns on everybody. I mean, she turned on Liv, not Liv, Tegan Nox, somebody else too. I don't know. It's a long list. I don't have time to look it up right now, but you can't trust Dakota Kai.
Raquel Rodriguez, I think, was one of the other ones.
Her too. Yeah. So, can't trust her. So, she's five. I think she could have a breakout year. If I wasn't so dead set on Tiffany Stratton being the Money in the Bank winner, that's my mentality is right now. Dakota Kai is definitely in that sleeper list. So she could be the breakout candidate of the year as well. So she's five. Keep an eye on her. We'll see if she makes the list next time. Number four is Mercedes Moné. I feel like, you know, a wrestler of her caliber getting the big stage, you know, home debut in Boston. I'm like, well, I'd be almost ignorant to leave her off the list, even though I didn't really care for the promo, but I gave her a spot. Can she stay there, though? That's up to Tony Khan. Three is Bayley. She was my one, you know, a couple months ago, but she fell off a little bit. I feel like that her Road to WrestleMania has been kind of not as impactful as it should be. Like, they don't put her on a lot of the promotional things, but they put Bianca Belair on stuff. It's like, I love Bianca, but she's kind of in a weird spot right now. I mean, she hates Bayley. And, you know, we could see like a double turn of those two at some point, but Bayley's still holding strong as a three, and Rhea is my number two. She's still holding on the two. She's still strong. She hasn't been wrestling on matches, but she's still a key focal point of the women's division and Judgment Day. And number one, who wasn't even on my top five last time, is Becky Lynch. She put the rocket to her back. She shot up there. You know, she's had weeks and weeks of great matches, you know, putting it on her back. She knows WrestleMania season's coming up. She's got a big match with Rhea. Becky is back. She's promoting her book. She's got a weird picture of her and Seth in the titles. I'm questioning that one. But, you know, Becky and Rhea is the marquee women's match. We all were high on the Charlotte-Rhea match last year. I want to see Rhea and Becky outdo that match and just have a hell of a night.
All right. So for my top five, last time we had this go around here, I had Jordynne Grace number five, Tiffany Stratton number four, Jade three, Rhea two, and Bayley one. So similar to you, I've got Jade dropping off my list just for the simple fact of, you know, like you said, she's MIA, she's not around anymore. You know, just can't, this is a list about momentum here, and I can't include somebody that's not on TV. And Jordynne Grace also, I'm dropping her off my list as well. I have a somewhat similar a listing to you, for you as you do, Chairman. For me, I had Mercedes Moné as my number five. I guess everything, like you said, you know, she's got the momentum behind her now to be the woman in AEW, like we talked about. Everything is there for her, so she definitely deserves a spot on this list after the debut. Can she still stay on this list, though, a month from now? My number four is, just like it was last time on that list, Tiffany Stratton. Like you said, I think she's the perfect, I agree with you, Chairman, perfect candidate for Money in the Bank. She's getting over. I mean, she was over in, what was it, Australia for the Elimination Chamber. And it's just, you know, she's got the athleticism. She continues, like I said before, she's gotten so much better since the stuff you saw at the beginning from NXT. I think she's going to be a big star for WWE in the times ahead. I'm with you on Bayley at number three. Like you said, I'm with you on Io Sky. It's like, I like damage control as a group. I have no problem with them. But lots of times it just seems like Io Sky is like the least important person of the group. I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, Asuka and Kairi as tag team champions get a little bit more attention even than Io. So it's weird where it's like, obviously we know Io is a good wrestler, but when you look at that group, you know, obviously you have to have Dakota do the talking and the in-ring promos. So you understand why she gets the attention she gets. And I agree with you that I think Dakota Kai could be a breakout candidate, but I'm with you that I think Bayley needs to win this match at WrestleMania. And then I also have Becky and Rhea at the top, but I'm flip-flopping where I have Rhea as number one and Becky as number two. I mean, for me, I agree with you. Like you said, Becky's doing all this stuff. She was at the White House, met President Biden this past weekend. So like you said, she's got a lot going on. I think I saw she passed her American citizenship test too. So a lot going on for her there. But for me, Rhea is still a top woman in the WWE. And until she gets knocked off of that perch as champion, which I don't even know if I would pick Becky to do that right now. I got to put Rhea ahead of Becky at this point. So Rhea rounds out the top five as number one. So that is our show for this week. We will be back next week to talk about everything else in the build-up to WrestleMania, what happens on AEW TV this week, maybe do a little bit of a WrestleMania top fives as well, and maybe our top five male wrestlers at the moment as well. So for my co-host, the chairman, Steven Vincent, I am Justin C. signing off, and we will talk to you guys then.